Yes, sir. Where is it? We have an institution called Clear Sahara. Clear Sahara goes back to Bashar, you know. So, and Clear Sahara is a combination. Clear Sahara is rent on the Monday and Thursday, and on Shabbos. The Shabbos in Yom Tov. Most part of Yom Tov was included in the Takone of Leisha of the Yom Tov. After the Kness Yom Tov, the Yuhel of Milwa, Shlishis Yom Tov, the Mots of Mori, which is according to the Gemore in Babikame, it refers not to simply to water, but it refers to air. 3 days passed without study of Torah. Some of the only Nevi'im should have a particular Shekir and introduce the institution of Kriyas HaTorah. Is Yontef, what the Kriyas HaTorah Yontef is, what does Kriyas HaTorah Yontef consist of? We know. What Kriyas HaTorah are we supposed to read? On Yom Tov, we know. No, puzzle about it. It's simple. You read on Yom Tov the Parsha in the Torah, which deal with this particular holiday. You read on the before Shavuos, you read Matir, or on Pesach. It's just what's right, and it's so forth. If you get to, you know, what do you read on Shabbos? So in the Aloche, that tells us that on Yom Tov, we must read on Yom Tov, must read Minyone de Yene, to the apostle is also mentioned there, by Dabla Meshe, Smeya de Reshem of Ve Yisroel, so the Gemara in Megillah says, "Shekol echod ve'echod yikirim b'zmanam." Then it is on Yom Tov we know that the mitzvah is Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Tov, but it's in it. And Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Tov represents an aspect of mitzvah Simcha. So chetzev Hashem v'chetzev Hashem, chetzev Hashem v'chetzev Hashem, so the mitzvah Simcha requires that every Yom Tov we should read those parts in the Torah which are related to the unique halachas of that particular Yom Tov. Is the name Vayda'aba Meshes Amar Hashem Adonai Yisrael Mitzvah Sheikirim Eisom Bizman. Fine. What's about Shabbos? Yom Tov Yev Minyone Deyim. But Shabbos is Yom Tov Minyone Deyim and Shabbos. You don't have 52 Shabbos on each. What should be the topic? Takonis Meisha. But let me say Takonis Meisha. Sheikir and Shabbos is Yom Tevim. So I have Yom Tevim. We know what Meisha meant. He meant Yom Tevim. That we derive from a pasuk. That we derive from a pasuk in the Meir and in Pirchos, the Dabba Meshet Meir de Hashem of the Yisrael. The Dabba Meshet means Yireh to the matter of the Yisrael. Yireh, the souls portions in the Torah, the Meir de Hashem of the Yisrael, which correspond are associated with a particular holiday. This is it. But what is the Kriyan Shabbos? What is the Kriyan Shabbos? What's the difference in this Shabbos or the next Shabbos? This Shabbos is because we read by Vishla, next Shabbos we read by Yeshe. So the answer is, which we get, she should erase this question. No, sir, Shabbos is not, there is no Minyan Deyim in the Shabbos. So what did Yeshe do? He took the 52 settlers and divided the 52 sefers and assigned the sefer to each Shabbos. In Shabbos, the whole concept of Yoni the Yemet does not exist, according to that answer. Shabbos, you simply have to read. You have to read in the course of a year. The Zumbresh is up to down to Zeis Abroch. Then the Rambam quotes a meaning that in certain places they used to divide the area, I mean the portions. They had not a 1 year or 1 year system, but a 3 year system. But I believe that this answer is not correct. I don't believe that Minyan the Yeme was introduced only for Yom Tov, not for Shabbos. I believe that the Meshik introduced Kriyas HaTeres, so this Kriyas HaTeres under the guiding principle Minyan the Yeme. Shabbos and Yom Tov, both Minyan the Yeme. No, I saw you ask me, Shabbos and Yom Tov, understand, what Shabbos and Yom Tov? The answer is, as Shabbos is also a Minyan the Yeme. Each Shabbos has a separate motif, a separate topic. Topical is each Shabbos an individual entity. It's not Bereishis and Shmeis and Vayiro and Bishen and so forth, Lechocho and so forth, and one topic, monotony, one topic. Not easy. Each Shabbos, like the way each Yom Tov has a separate motif, I mean, with a separate entity, I mean, which should be read, I mean, and that's Yom Tov. And keep on your read out, I think it's a year. And he's saying that, his Yom Tov is on the Miyon and the Yeme. It's Allah, Allah of the Maise important to the Miyon and the Yom Tov. Which is what it is about the skips. Is the skips of the Miyon and the Yeme, first of all, he read Parashas and Meir, and Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot. And he'll skip the Parashah about Sukkot. So we'll turn to the peace between the king. Here's a pretty clear. And it's not Pesach. However, if you read the parsha of Sukkot, Arba Chamish Rasol and Lachidish, and you skip the parsha of Shavuos in the parsha of the Meir, which you read the first day of Sukkot, it's in the Chizah. If you call that seven gathers, seven people, to the Torah, it's again, it's good enough. This is based upon as the priest's supposition that Kriyas HaTeres on Shabbos is not topically or here, but on Shabbos, doesn't matter what is skipped. On Shabbos, if you read only seven portions, and called up seven people, but even if you read the seven portions, then we should read, for instance, but now, for instance, if we should read, for instance, last Shabbos, et cetera, Vayishlach, Breishis. So according to that Hezbeir, we would not have to repeat. So wouldn't there be any reason for repetition? Because there's no Yemen, you're in the Yemen, it's not the Yemen, it's just a routine. Of course, you don't jump, you don't skip, but it's just a routine. But the Qiyum, the very intrinsic or essential, very intrinsic or essential kriya is not topic oriented, but just continuity oriented. Is the chaskidah certainly, but the David. So if I read this Shabbos instead of a Yishev, or read Parsha Nosei, it's very good. The worst is a Tere on Shabbos. There was a linear of 10 people. And Shabbos has no topical arrangement anyway. Since there's no topical arrangement as far as Shabbos is concerned, so with the Eved, with the Abad, so whatever you read is good enough. The same theory of it's well. Yeah. I don't believe. In my opinion is that when Kriyas HaTeres was introduced by Meshe and each Shabbos, we divided the Shabboses, and the Shabboses were divided into 52 units of Kriyas HaTeres. It was not just divided because this is the routine, this is because you have to write, you have to read. So, and if you read it in a way, in accordance with the principle of continuity, so you have 32 portions, each 32 portions distributed over the year. And each Shabbos, each Shabbos we read one of those 52 portions. Some are more boring, some sometimes we do 40. The conical tree was that each Shabbos has a different, different idiom of the Hebrew. It's not all Shabbosim are just one idiom of the Hebrew. No, it's not quite. It's exactly what the Tarkonis Kriya wanted to introduce, did introduce. And each Shabbos has a separate motif or matter, and what the Torah says about this particular Shabbos, or the particular story which is told us about that particular Shabbos, is the Yonah Diyeng. Shabbos Breishis is the Yonah Diyeng. Breishis. And if I read Shabbos Breishis, Parsha Reach, or let us say, or Truma, or Tzave, it's quite a problem whether we should not really, because it's like reading, and Sukkot is a portion in Bay which deals exclusively with Pesach. I say, what difference does it make in an ordinary Shabbos, what I read? So an ordinary Shabbos is also topically organized and topically arranged. And if I read not what actually has been assigned to this Shabbos, let us say this coming Shabbos, Vayeshev, down to Mitzvah, is like reading the part of Agudat Sadim, Atri Kippur, on Shavuot. That you told about three to repeat the whole thing. You see, Shabbos decree is also a claim in Yonah D'Yemeh. But in Yonah D'Yemeh is determined by the distribution and the division of the parshas in the Torah, and by the assignment of those parshas to individual Shabbos. The way when you speak, when you say Parsha Breishis, it was quite popular. I don't know now, American Jews do. They used to write on a letter, not only the day, the day of the week, but also the Parsha of Shabbat. The Parsha, Gimel Yom, the Parsha. Because the parsha of Shabbos is not just a coincidence of a Shabbos and the reading of a parsha in the story on that day. Each Shabbos actually essentially, intrinsically, has its own motif. And this motif is the theme of the Kriya Satere on that Shabbos. Aloha Almighty is, as I told you, what if I read on Shabbos on Vayeshev, Parsha Shmeis, or Day, or Eichel, do I have to reread the Parsha again? If the name of the Goyim, say yes. Yes. I don't know, I didn't check exactly what the Goyim said, but this is somehow maybe a Shmue, the tradition, I mean, it goes back to the Goyim. Assert that the Goyim actually thought that the portion of the Torah which was assigned to that Shabbos is the Minyone Deyemeh. Minyone Deyemeh. And if I miss, we require about 3 years. If I miss, I'll be told to repeat. Is it Shabbos as a special motif which is about which we read during Kriya Satere. For instance, Три Шаббес, Речпес, Вор Шаббес Ванишках. Вот это мотив, где Шаббес. Вот это мотив Ванишках, это Лесу Хайдава. Нек Шаббес, Луги Ваеши. And so forth and so on. It's a million in the year we apply to Shabbat. So how many topics are there, I mean, to be elaborated and during this appeal? 52 topics, approximately. The 52 topics. And the 52 in Yoni de Yeme are the subject matter of the thing.
I think what should arise is that Machot Kanoim, whether on Monday and Thursday,
you continue, or I should repeat.
If it's a full good and a quarry, you should continue each time, and then have a quarry, but if it's Minyon, the Yom of each Shabbat.
Correct, you're right. But then Machot Yisrael Meir and Rabbon, the Mirch of the Shabbat, and he's basing in Hay. Mirch of the Mirch of the Base, you read, you continue reading. You continue reading, Mirch, you continue reading what, where you left. The left off from the shaft. And then in the days you continue reading where you start. In Munich, and in Thursday you continue reading, and so on. Next Shabbos you don't start from the beginning of the parasha, but from the place you start reading, from the place we discontinued on Thursday. It's right there. If it's a loche, it does have continuity, a plain continuity, so why do you have to repeat? So the shit is Rabbi Meir, should have been accepted. Apparently, here is the machlekes with Rabbi Meir and the Rabbona. This is the machlekes. Apparently, it's not just for the sake of continuity, of mechanical continuity. And there would be no need to repeat on Monday and Thursday what I already read, Shabbos. And Shabbos, and which I read Shabbos, the next Shabbos in the morning, but Shachal Hashem. This is the topic of the, not only of Shabbos, of the week. The topic of the week now between Beishalach and Vayishlach and Vayeshev. What is the topic of Shabbos or of the week? Whatever the topic is. Because really, I have to, in each case, I have to start. To start with the beginning of the portion for which was assigned to a particular motif. That is correct.
Another night you were discussing Shulchan Aruch about Tashlumin.
Yes, correct. The minute is a minute like that. As if I skip. If I skip the Kriyas Atayr in the morning, so a Shabbos, so the next Shabbos, the Tzibur reads the Parsha, basically I skip Parsha Vayishla. I think that next Shabbos I would have to read Vayishla, like a Shemnesre, like a Shemnesre. And in addition to Vayishla, I would also read Vayesha. It's also that there is Tashlumim, apparently, that the Shabbos demands the whole Torah got to be read, and the Torah demands that the people read all about the 52, topics. Into which the Kriyas HaTorah was divided. Right? Correct. Now let's continue. It's a mistake. I cannot, for instance, what for instance if I'll operate like that? I'll read Vayishla, for instance, all 52 Shabbat. So that is the only safe name of the Goyim, not Yetzer, but it's got to be the Matzibo. But not only in Matzibo, it's more than reading together with the community. It's more than that. I've got to read about the 52 topics, about 52 things which Kriyas HaTorah has introduced, and introduced And if I miss one, so you think my mitzvah to this affair would be not incomplete. Now let's continue. So what would you say? We read last Shabbos, we read the Mishnah. Oh, it's not just a parsha. It's a parsha, apparently, as I said, there is a parsha deals with a certain theme. What is this theme? What is this theme? I can have the same questions I got to my Yeshiva and the Keter. Not only a specific question singled out, it's a question singled out exclusively for my Yeshiva. What is actually the, let's now simply experiment. What is the, for instance, the Parsha Breishis, I can understand. The motif is Bria Seva. Neyach, Schar Veinish. Lech Lachot. The game is a problem, no doubt about it. And so forth. What is it about my Yishlach?
Confrontation.
What is it?
Confrontation.
The Chemist Israel, the Yohani. The Chemist Israel, the Amorek. Right? The Chemist Amorek. This is the motif. And apparently, the Chemist Amorek has. It is not something we discover while reading the Parsha of Yishlach. I believe we already came across this conflict. Where?
In Toldos.
In Toldos.
Toldos,
correct. It is already in the conflict between Avraham and the and Abimelech, and Abram, and the Chamish Melochim, the five kings, Abraham, and Lot, Abraham, and Lot, and so forth. But in Vayishlach, I would say, this Mechemes Yisroel Amim, Mechemes Yisroel Amim, or Yisroel Amorek, reaches its apex. The story reaches its apex. It's climax. Why? And we have to add something to this, to what you just said. We add something that Sefer Breishis, and it's important, that Sefer Breishis is not only a story about people and events which already took place so many thousands of years ago, but it's more than that. It's also the Ramban called Sefer HaSimonim, the Book of Shemot. It is also the story of many, many events and happenings which will take place in the future. When we read Sefer Breishis carefully and we analyze the story, so you know not only what happened, but what is going to happen. And the destiny of Knesset Yisrael is reflected by Sefer Breishis. That's what Rambam says. Rambam calls Sefer Breishis Sefer HaSimonim, Sefer Shmeis Sefer HaGula. Sefer HaSimonim is symbols which, if understood properly, can tell us the story, the future story of Israel and its enemies, its foes, the people who want to destroy. If we understand that, the Ramban Sefer HaSimonim, that means, so how will I, what will we say? What will we say is the topic of Yishlach? It's already being said, but I want to just stay safer than Parsha Vayishlach is guided by the motif Апортов. Дайден бай вот, вот вот это мотива спасена ишла. И the destiny of the Jew. Not only what happened to him, but what's going to happen. The destiny of the Jew. This eternal mystery of Jewish existence, the solution to that mystery, we may find in Vayishlach. The Vayishlach particularly, because the climate of the confrontation between Jew and non-Jew is to be found in Vayishlach. How do I know that? It's not my own. The Medrash says, Yerushalmi, he says, that Rabbeinu Anosi, Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, whenever he had a mission or an errand, and he had to speak to the Roman governor, who lived in Tver and Tiberias, which before he departed on his mission to the Roman governor, he used to read Parsha Vayishlach, and he studied Parsha Vayishlach carefully. In order to get to be instructed by this culture, how to act, what to act, what attitude you should take, and so forth and so on. Yerushalmi told us that once he did not adapt to study Parsha Vayishlach, so he had a lot of trouble. Now the question is, why did you say, apparently the Ramban himself has singled out Vayishlach as the parsha in which the destiny of our people is reflected? The parsha. All right, why didn't Rebbe read Vayetzeh or Vayeshev? Rebbe selected Vayishlach as the parsha. Yes, apparently what you said is Vayishlach is actually the story of our destiny. It's correct that Vayishlach is the story. But since Rabbi Yaakov used to study not the case of IT, but Vayishlach, nor did he study Rechavah, but Vayishlach, apparently Vayishlach has special significance. Special significance Vayishlach. What is there to Vayishlach that gives the Sedra its singular status as far as Muhammad Yisrael Rambam is concerned? As far as the Sefer HaSimonim of Bereishis is concerned? What is there in Vayishlach? What is there in Vayishlach? So singular and so strange. What would you say? What would you say?
I was saying that there are, in Vayishlach, we have two completely conflicting ways in which Jews can meet the conflicting non-Jews. One, the first confrontation between Yaakov and Esav, you have a confrontation which is resolved peacefully through use of gift, use of understanding. In the second confrontation, there is a teeming type of not only total confrontation, but type of overreaction, where crime is committed against Yaakov and his family.
And what do you mean, Shem?
Shem, and his family retaliates by annihilation of the populace.
Well, I don't know. What else? What else? Would you suggest? Huh? By Russia, Yaakov and Mother. What respect is of Yerusha Yaakov Levade different from the story of Yaakov's confrontation with Esau? What respect is it? There are two Esau's there, right? The one guy is good, the other guy is up and all that stuff. The Torah told us a story of Yerusha Yaakov Levade, the Yerusha Kishimi, and Alessa Shachar, is apparently there is something new to that confrontation, which Yaakov did not account of prior to the meeting with the unknown antagonist, or in relationship to trace what was so terrible, like Rosh Yaakov Levade, or Yom Kishimei, so terrible that the Aesop story was not good enough. The Torah has dedicated a special report about this wrestling match between Yaakov and his antagonist. Book. No, the only difference is.
Eternal
struggle? No. How do you know it's eternal? I believe it's the main difference.
Internal.
No. You mean because this was a brother?
No.
I would say it's simple. Aesop, actually, first of all, you knew very well. We know very well who Jacob's antagonist was in his confrontation with his brother. His brother! Esau. Secondly, we know well why Esau was an enemy of Jacob. Was an enemy. Because Esau had two complaints against Jacob. Esau was wrong. Alright, but I had two complaints. And those complaints motivated his animosity against his brother. I said that. Chino Korosh Meyaki, Stray Rossi Lokach, Lato Lokach and Bechosi. He had complaints. He complained. He accused Yaakov of cheating. First of all, the antagonist was a known person, known to Yaakov, by name and by his family background. No, Yaakov knew Esau very well. And secondly, there was some, I wouldn't say justification, not justification, there was some reason, psychologically, a reason for the attack which the Esau unleashed against Jacob and what and the fact that they wanted to destroy Jacob. And when he was a Rishime, when he was a Yaakov Vadim, when he was a Kishime, at the Reisa Shachar, first of all, the anonymity. Who is it? It was not, the place was not illuminated, it was alone, he was attacked. When he asked for the name, later, but he asked for the name, so the antagonist said, what was the official name? I have no name, I'm everything, and I am nothing. It means I cannot expose to you my identity. Can I? This mysterious character, the mystery of that thing, and the refusal to identify himself, to identify himself. This is the most horrible characteristic of our destiny throughout the ages. Basically, you never know who will attack you. I'll give you an example. For instance, if you read the socialist literature at the turn of the century, all the socialists, liberals, they are all liberals, kept on saying that anti-Semitism is a result of capitalism. However, if capitalism will be abolished, completely abandoned, then this society will become a proletarian society, socialist society, there will be no anti-Semitism. Well, they explained it nicely. How anti-Semitism is caused by the fact that the ruling society in the West is capitalist. What happened? That the communists themselves joined our enemies and are perhaps the worst of all our enemies. So there's no longer Tishalishmi. It's anonymity, we don't know who it is. Sometimes you come across events. Nowadays, in modern times, as far as the Jew is concerned, that simply puzzle you. That there's no consistency, there's no consequence. There's no sequence, reasonable sequence. No rules, no historical rules can be applied. It might strike everywhere and contradict the basic principles of our logic, which is why this is Basel Tishal Eshvi. This number one. Number two is another characteristic which actually lends the struggle between the antagonist and Jacob. It's frightening. Namely, he did not promise Jacob peace. He never reconciled with him. Yeah, that means never reconciled. Roman the official is me, by God is strong, very nice, and giving him a brochet, okay, it's not expensive brochet. Yeah, but he didn't say, no, from now on we'll be friends. No, promise. And the impression, if you read the parsha carefully, the impression you'll get is that he says, all right, we'll see each other next. It's not, this event is not the conclusion of our relationship. We'll meet somewhere, I mean. I don't know where, I mean, when, but somewhere and at a certain time. We'll meet and we'll struggle again. And this time I will defeat you. That's what you read between the lines of the few words which the antagonist addressed to Jacob. I cannot finish the fight. I cannot. Because call of Shachar and his Chazal say, was busy, I mean, saying, Shire, whatever, I'm prevented. I'm finishing, I'm concluding the conflict, but don't think for a moment that I'll disappear completely from your life. I'll see you again. And this is basically the two characteristics which we have encountered throughout the millennia of our history. Anonymity and permanence of the country. Now let us say, all right, this is why Vayishlach is considered, I mean, the book of Deshe, among the other parshas of Bereshit. There's another reason why Vayishlach is so important to the understanding of our destiny and to understanding of the future. There's another reason. The one reason was mentioned. It's correct, this is the Vayore Kishine, the Rei Kashara. There's another reason. There is something strange in Vayishlach. What is strange in Vayishlach? The end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, the conclusion of the parasha in Vayishlach. What is the conclusion of the parasha? Really? What does the parasha deal when it's about to conclude the story of Vayishlach? What is the parasha? Detailed biography and the background of Issos, dominion. The Torah gives many words, many psukim. The Torah, as Chazal said, the Torah was Dam Asheret Mitamei, we require Akal Vachemia. The Lamites Meloche Sarasu Mishabes, we require Akzer Shave from Mishken, and so forth on. So the Torah, this precise Torah has given a couple of pages to the story of Esau. Ve'ele Amlochim Asher Molchu Be'Edom Lifnei Melech Melah B'Yisrael. Why is it so? Ma'ir. First of all, the genealogical continuity of Issa's kingdom and the names of the king. It means that the Torah has engaged in telling us of the history of the Issa. Why is it necessary? Why was it necessary? Yes, what would you say? What did the Torah, apparently the Torah wanted to inform us something.
That the eighth of the
Mitzrayim. I mean, she didn't have to show the eighth of the Mitzrayim? The theory exactly emphasizes in the two parshas what an antagonist, I mean, this mysterious wrestler told Jacob, who will come, don't seek Yaakov. Even if you'll be successful now, and you'll settle your conflict with Esau now. And he settled the conflict with Esau. Yeah. Even if you settle now, you'll meet Esau again and again and again. And it will be tough times. It will be tough times. Many times, Esau will be the strong man, you'll be the weak man. Quite often, Esau will be the king, the master. You'll just be a subordinate. You'll be a captive, a prisoner. Of course, the final result, the final conclusion, is a different story. Final conclusion is that the Torah did not give, always gives, it tells us, Ve'elam lochim asher molchu be'edin lifnei melech melech be'Yisrael. That apparently, finally the melech be'Yisrael will tower over the melech be'Yisrael, and Yaakov will be the complete victor, while Esau will be defeated forever and ever. But it's a long list. You'll have in your history, in the many confrontations which you'll have to engage during the thousands of years, or the hundreds of years of your history, you'll have to confront Esau quite a number of times. And so it was. The next confrontation between Jacob and Esau, where was it? Where was it? The next confrontation?
Amalek. Amalek
in the middle of that. Vayevah Amalek, vayevochem in Yisrael v'filim. Do you need a better idea? The statement is clear and which is more conclusive. The most conclusive. Next Amalek. This exactly why the Yishlah is the is the apex, the climax of it. Our destiny, because it reflects our destiny.
I wanted
to mention. Rima says, after all, Jacob did not emerge a complete victor on his engagement in combat with the mysterious antagonist. Because what is Mutzrayali Reche? He emerged from the battle alright, alive, as a living person, alive, capable of carrying on the work, but a cripple. What a cripple? A cripple? So Chazal talk in the Chumran. What is the name of the taker, Rechel Yaakov? It means that Yaakov was the war? Because he inflicted physical harm upon Jacob. If Ashgoch had wanted Yaakov to be a complete winner, victor, so Esau should not have succeeded in imposing the physical damage upon Jacob and inflaming the tendon which made his walk is a walking impossible. So Chazal says, what is the Chumash referring to? Well, the Derech Oshma. How many times did we lose thousands, millions of people at the hands of the Esau? And we were weak and Esau was strong. Quran that Jacob really had to hide, to hide his identity. Begging grace and mercy from poor farmers. I mean, we just read through such a killer. So it means that at certain times, as Jacob used to lose his engagement, and Esau was a stronger one. But of course, the final conclusion, the final battle will take place, so Esau will lose completely and Jacob will win. But there will be many times in our history, there were many times in our history, that Jacob was downtrodden, the downtrodden person by Esau, and Esau was the victor. This is the Derech Hochmah. And that's exactly what the Chumash says, where I'm looking Hashem Ochu, there are Melech Melech be Yisrael. There are many Melechim who were strong and powerful, and they actually emerged from their engagement, from their combat with Jacob. Praise are you winners. That's why the Vayishlach two things. Vayishlach Yaakov with Vade, and the Vayishlach Mocham Hashem Mocham Berem Kedem Melech Merav Yisrael. Those parshiyos made Vayishlach this story of our destiny. That's why Rebbe, whenever he was about to confront the Roman emperor or governor, This is Aesop, wherever there is wrong, maybe this is Aesop, Amalek, so he used to study carefully the parsha from Aesop. What did Jacob want? Esau want? What did he want? He was angry because of the bracha, but he was not interested in the bracha. What did he want, actually? What did he want, and what did the mysterious antagonist want? What did he ask? You may ask a question about the mother of anti-Semitism too, but we are now limiting ourselves to the story of the Jacob Esau confrontation at the time of Jacob in antiquity. What did he accept? What was their main desire, the objective in the Castile? That was business of Jacob. I mean, he organized 400 people militarily on the garden with ammunition. And apparently was ready for war, no doubt about it. However, the brochers destroyed themselves. And they wanted the brochers, could have taken over, else destroyed while Jacob was involved. And basically, this is what Jacob told him. The Moravon Garti Wecher Adato. Why does he have to tell it to Esau? But we are not interested in the brochers of the father, Esau. Because had you wanted the brochers of the father, the first gift which a father could bestow was what? Eretz Yisrael. So he could have taken over and invaded Eretz Yisrael 500 times during my absence. He was 20 years, I believe he was absent. He was about 20 years, for 20 years from Lovon. There he asked him, Shonim Yisrael. So why didn't you take over? In Lovon Garde, I was a poor shepherd. I couldn't fight you. I mean, I couldn't take my soldiers or my servants to Eretz Yisrael, I mean, and prevent you from taking over the land, from annexing the land. So why didn't you take? In Lovon Garti, I was very lazy. I was too long in Lovon's house. So during that time, couldn't you take over? Mital HaShemayim and Mishmur HaRat. So apparently you're not interested anymore in Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what Jacob told Esau in his message he sent with the Malach. So actually, so what did Esau want? What did Esau want? We know from what passage. What passage? Where Esau willingly betrays himself and tells Jacob what he's out to get. What? Vayemer Niso v'neilecho v'eilecho v'nevdecho. Jacob, Esau addresses those words to Jacob. Vayemer Eilot, and Jacob answered him, Adeni yedea ki ha'ilodim rakim, v'atzei v'abokor always, oloi, utfokum yemecho, utfokum yemecho, utfokum yemecho. V'meisi kol atzei, Yavon Adeni Lifi Avdei, Vani Esna Lomiiti, the regal Hamlocho, Hashal Eponai, the regal Hamlochin, Acherova, Acherova, Aladeni Seyo. Vayena Esau, Atsigon Rahim Chomin Roma Shreti, I lay a leave people to accompany me. Vayema Loman Zem Tachem Ben Adeni, does not need, I'll find my way to say it. Vayosha, Vayema Hu Esau, Vidaki Seyo. So the Melres, חוזרנו על כל המיקרו, אומר רב לוי, חוזרנו על כל המיקרו. We examined the entire text of the Tanakh. After us, we haven't found שיאקי נוסה להר סייר. But Yaki actually fulfilled his promise that he'll visit Esau in Har Seir, a place to which Esau moved during Jacob's sojourn in Choron. It's impossible to say that Yaakov did not abide by his promise. Then Rabbi Levi says, we found the place. Is Yaakov owes a visit to Jacob. So basically, Jacob, Esau's request, Niso v'neuchol v'nevecho, let us travel together. ניסו ונלכו בתלכו. ראים על ניסו ונלכו ואילכו ונגדכו. Let us travel together. Why 2 machnes, 5 machnes, 6 machnes? My, yours, let us be together, brother. You want brotherhood, so let's share in brotherhood. Is actually what Esau is angry, and this is the anger which is typical of Tivmach, of modern man, or a modern anti-Semite, or a semi-Israel. What is typical? It's not true if we say that modern man that he hates the Jews is because he's envious of the Jews. Might be to some limited extent, I mean, play a role, but it's correct. Because he is unique. They don't like us because we are unique. We celebrate the holidays in a unique way. We raise children in a unique way. We write differently. From right to left, from left to right. It's different. And in a variety of ways, a Jew mourns Rachman of Islam differently. A Goy, the Avilis of a Goy is a different thing from it. I can't characterize and analyze the unique traits, characteristic traits of the Avilis by a Jew, which is different from that which non-Jew engages. And the same with regard to joy. A Jew rejoices differently. We have a different calendar system and so forth. And somehow this uniqueness, and particularly the uniqueness of the Jew in his relationship to the past. A Jew is loyal, devoted to his past in a manner which is avoided by the Jew. Sincerely devoted. Because when a boy asks you the question, what do you want, what do you need the land of Israel for? What do you need? What do you miss here? What will you find in Israel? It's basically very hard to answer. And sometimes, as we say, those questions come not from our enemies. They come from our friends, so-called. And you want an answer, an answer which a Goy should understand. Because you cannot answer the Goy with a quotation from the Gush Emunah. Really? Okay. We are now got used to one, we got accustomed to a very strange behavioral characteristic that we want the Jew, the non-Jew, to see Jerusalem with the same eyes as those of Rabbi Kuk. Carter Harvard does not understand it. The SS of Dusha is Joshua in his capture. The scholar of Joshua doesn't understand it.
How would
the
Rabbi explain
the... Never mind that I will explain. And this is exactly what Esau said. After Yaakov gave him the presents and the gifts, and Yaakov introduced him in his household to Jacob, to Esau. After all that, so Esau said, listen, Yaakov, why play games with me? There can be no peace between us if you live in Eretz Yisrael and I live in Har Seir. Cannot be. If you want real peace and good relations between us, so in Nisan or in Elcho and Egar, so let us travel here. Travel along the historical paths and bypass. Travel here. We travel together. We have one destination. There will be no need for Mincha. There will be no need for bending down before me. I'll be a brother, you'll be my brother, we'll be two equal. But as long as you travel throughout another day, different destination than I do, So nicht Leochono, nicht so, aber Leochono nicht Becho. Trafu Perlo und ich sehe der Rest. Fischer. In Jakob, den er hat drei Uhr, bei ihm hören wir den Idee. Javon war den mit den Alten, bei Neuer, 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 ויושב הוא איסב לדעקי, איסב לוסט, איסב לסעד את פרחב סביבות כסלי ג'קוב, to try to change the direction of the destination of his travel, of his travels, and join him. And by so doing, simply bridge the gap, which separates Esav from Yaakov. But he is of loss. By Yosher, by Yema, who is of the dark. And when you read it, the word, by Yosher, by Yema, who is of the dark, and carefully, I would add one of the Levites, Jacob in Jacob. This does not mean that Jacob will never visit us, eh? But this announcement, when will Jacob visit us, eh? The tale is left for the Nevi'im to tell us. And this is the last post, in the Akhnera to the Aflash Shabbos. Vohu Nishim Ba'atzim, Nishim Sa'isa, Vohu Yisrael Hashem. But then, when you will join Esav Sa'asayim, will be on our condition, not on his. Jacob joined Yaakov, Jacob joined the Esav immediately, when Esav made the proposition and suggested this course together, then the joining of Jacob would have been on whose conditions? On Jacob's conditions. When Evadio says, well, Mishim Batsi and Lishu Sarayto, all right, we'll join, of course we'll join. But it will be on our condition. And this Mashiach depends upon that famous visit which Jacob still owes to Esau. Whenever the Messiah will come, so Jacob will discharge his duty and he'll pay his final visit to Esau. And then Moshe Hashem and Ruko, if Esau will recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then this is the idea of Malchus. Thank you.